Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
'Twas the night before break, when through the garage, not an engine was revving, not even a Dodge. The stockies were hung by the mural with care, in hopes that St. Enzo soon would be there. High and low car were nestled all snug in their bays, while Zumi's workwear was put out on display. And Christina in her kerchief and Gavin in his cap had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out in the yard there arose such a clatter, Christina sprang from the studio to see what was the matter. A bag full of stories, some funny, some trite. "Great," said Christina, "I don't have to write." And that's what this is. Today on Pass Gas, we're going to learn a little bit more about some different listener-submitted stories and judge a whole lot of big dogs. Finally, get some big dogs on this show. Yeah. It's not just a bunch of little dogs that
those
suck.
Are real big dogs, not a euphemism for something.
Pictures of your large dogs. This is Santa's Coal Bag. We did Your Crummy Ideas, Volume 2.
Yes!
Pass Gas Podcast. Cars,
big thank you to our sponsor this week, Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/gas, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/gas now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/gas. A big thank you to our sponsor this week, BetterHelp. Find your bright spot this season with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/passgas today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/passgas. Thank you, BetterHelp.
We get a lot of requests for topics and stories to cover on this show. Some of them are crazy. Some of them are not very good. Some of them are very good, but they don't necessarily warrant 9 pages of story. So we're going to cover all of those in today's episode, and we are going to rank your dogs. Previously we had you guys send a bunch of little dogs, and these jokers pretended like they liked them.
I like little dogs. Before we even get into the episode, what's the deal with the little dogs? Who in your family growing up had the little dog that you didn't like? No, there's
I've always
something
had big
happened.
Dogs in my
something
family.
Happened.
No.
What happened?
No. My family is a big dog family.
Something, there was maybe a chihuahua that yapped at you, maybe bit you.
Nah.
That would be understandable because my aunt,
this isn't based on trauma. This is not based on trauma. This is based on personal preference.
All right. Welcome to the show, everybody. Pass Gas, number one automotive show in the world. My name is Nolan Sykes, joined as always by my co-hosts, We got James Pumphrey over there with big old candy cane.
Ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho.
And Joe Weber.
I want to give a big shout out to my dogs, Donner and Blitzen, Scooby. What are the other ones' names?
Dog's daughter?
Donner and Blitzen. Oh,
there was I'm going to give a shout out to my daughter. Dog's daughter.
Sure. Mag Cordova's daughter, Joni, is very cute. I want to give a shout out
like
to
Joni
her. Maybe.
Joni Cordova.
Joni Cordova.
Yeah, cool Joni name. Cordova. Cool That's name. A cool name.
All right. Yeah, and today's Santa's Cold Bag, one of my favorite episodes that we do.
Oh, so fun.
All the time. Yeah. We do it all the time.
Oh, dang, dude. Are you wearing a TRD fleece?
Whoa. Yeah,
that's sick.
This is the Huff TRD Racing collab. That's tight. Yeah.
I just saw a story about this woman that the only account that Microsoft Windows follows is this one woman. For some reason, and she doesn't know why, but every year they send her a new sweater, and this year it was like the grassy hills with like a little pointer clicker on it, and it looked pretty sick.
I would be so scared if I was the only person that Microsoft was following, and like to the point where it's like definitely not an accident.
Yeah,
no,
And they're sending you stuff. They know her address.
Yeah, yeah.
They've probably used. Yeah,
they've
used their abilities to find out her address, and they're taunting her.
is the mouse at least the zipper on the zipper so it moves around?
No, it's off center, which kind of bugs me.
It should have been on the zipper, so it looks like you're
there's
moving
no zipper. But the one that she got last year was Clippy, and I was like, that's kind
of this is creepy.
And then next year, it's going to be like a list of all of the IP addresses that she visited.
Yeah,
yeah,
her entire web history. All right, we're going to start off the show with a gift exchange.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I know you guys were so busy this year shooting this whole week.
Well, yeah, this week was especially, we have to shoot more stuff after this.
We're
yeah.
shooting a video right after this. Joe's directing it.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. You should tune into that. But for now.
Every day this week, I've been in two videos.
I know, I've been in multiple things every day.
It's been crazy. So that's my excuse.
I got you guys some presents this year. I don't want to make you feel bad about not getting me stuff.
No, but. I got you something and I didn't forget. I got you both really good gifts that are thoughtful.
I'm going to find something. I'll scrounge something out of my backpack.
Well, right. First, James, I want to give you this because you gave me a Tim Allen Hot Wheel set a couple of years ago and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And it's still up on my wall. So I wanted to give you this. I know you like West Coast Choppers.
Oh, dude, I do. Oh, my God.
What?
You got Paul Sr., Paul Jr. and Mikey.
That's wow. insane.
I probably wouldn't eat the candy in it because it's probably over 20 years old.
This is great.
Where'd you find that?
It was actually in a shipment a box that my parents sent me of my old stuff. So,
nice.
So
you already had
yeah.
it. All right. So on the back, it's got there all the stars of West Coast Choppers. And it's got their favorite bikes, and I'd love to share them with you guys.
Okay.
So Paul Jr., arguably the star of the show.
Yeah.
Paul Sr. wouldn't say that.
He's the one who throws the chair, right?
Uh-huh. He's one of the ones that throws the chair.
I think they all take they turns. All throw they all took turns.
So Paul Jr.'s favorite bikes are the jet bike.
Yeah. Classic, yeah. Yeah.
The fire bike.
I remember that.
Classic.
For the FDNY.
Uh-huh. And the Black Widow.
Oh, the Black Widow, the spider one.
That one is interesting.
Hence the name. I love that one.
Yeah. Paul Sr.'s favorite bike, just one, the POW MIA bike.
Of course.
Of course it is. I doubt he served, but he's of the generation who likes to act like they did.
Well, this probably came out around the Iraq war firing up, you know?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's just like guys that look like this guy are like, you know what? Like, I have so much reverence for the armed forces. I practically served. I'm not saying he's a valor jacker, but.
Valor jacker.
By all accounts, since this show, Paul Sr. has proven to be a huge piece of shit.
Mikey.
I'll start beef with him. What if Paul Sr. beat me up? I bet he could.
He's got motorcycles.
Jesse
strength.
James hates Paul Sr.
Paul Sr.
And then Mikey. Everybody loves Mikey. Mikey's favorite bikes are Mikey's bike and the Mikey and Vinny bike.
Did
dude, this is taking me back. I forgot about the Black Widow. That was on t-shirt. Black Widow was sick. This kid Mitch Maroney wore an American Chopper t-shirt that had
that on
there.
Did they make the Spider-Man bike for Wyclef?
I think that might have been the Black Widow. Because it had spider webbing over the tank. Remember that?
Oh.
It was like super sick.
They couldn't call it the Spider-Man bike because that was copyright infringement.
That's a hilarious gift.
That's very funny.
All right, Nolan, you ready for yours?
Yeah. To Riley's dismay, that is going in our living room.
I kind of look like Mikey.
No, you don't.
With shorter hair. Look
but
at that.
They would use the same head
they
if you guys.
They'd put a little mole.
Change the hair.
They put a little mole and change the hair. That's exact. And maybe different glasses.
Totally.
So like I said before, maybe off camera, but both of your gifts are metal themed.
That's right. You did say that.
Motorcycles are metal.
Yeah.
Yep.
I got you the corn hot sauce.
Oh.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Should we dab it?
Corn here to slay hot sauce. Oh, my God. By the hedonist.
Yeah,
Should we dab it? Should we feast?
What's it called?
So funny. Okay, it says on the back, here to slay is hot sauce is an ode to our Bakersfield, California roots with a recipe featuring roasted corn, onion, and the best chipotle peppers marinated in adobo. Oh. A healthy splash of pineapple juice adds just enough sweetness to slay your taste buds, perfect for meals on the road and at home. Bro, I do not want to be in a tour bus if someone's sucking this
dude,
down.
Dude, Fieldy's like spraying it all over his food. That sucks.
Yeah, slay.
Dude.
Slay queen.
Here to slay, baby. That's
well,
so
it's just
funny.
Chipotle's and it's got juice in it. We
and
should
pineapple
dab it.
Juice.
On some cake?
Put it on my Coke
put
nail.
On your little nut, your little hand.
My little nut?
Yeah, put on your little nut.
Here we go. A little dab on my finger. Oh, God. That was big.
Oh,
watch. Yeah, make sure you get on a mic, James. No sound on that. Okay, ready?
Ready?
Mm-hmm. 3, 2, 1.
Oh, I like it.
Not too spicy.
It's very good.
It's very good.
That's really good.
Great flavor.
Dang. Because sometimes you don't know. Sometimes it's like ass blaster and you're like, I don't know if I want to try
corn.
This.
Who knew?
That's really good, actually.
Yeah. It's really good.
You can taste
that.
The corn in it.
Yeah, you can.
I'd love that on some chicken, some ribs.
Dude.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yum. Wow. I'm looking forward to my salmon bowl. I'm going to throw that on.
Really what I ordered for lunch.
Yeah.
Chicken Caesar salad. Probably not going to be a great combination.
Would be great. You throw
Joe, thank
chicken.
You so much.
Yeah.
This is delicious.
Happy holidays.
Dude, that's good. And thank you for this, Joe.
Yeah.
My gifts for you guys are culinary.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. As well.
Yeah.
Is it something you got in the kitchen?
No, I didn't get in the kitchen.
I got it in a kitchen.
Can't wait.
Guys, I think most people don't get enough protein.
Okay.
You should have at least 0.7 grams of protein for every gram of body or for every pound of body weight you have.
Okay.
So, I mean,
is that per day?
Yeah.
That's hard to calculate.
23.
No, 0.7.
Oh, 0.7.
So, like, you should be having like almost 200 grams of protein every day.
Whoa.
Yeah. You don't get nearly enough. So, I got you. Both.
What is that?
So what Nolan, is that? I got you 26 grams of protein in the form of
safe
tuna.
Catch yellowfin tuna.
That's
expensive.
Actually more. That's so the 26 grams, that's for like 4 ounces. That's a 3.5 ounces. That's a 5 ounce can. So really you're getting like 34 grams of protein.
Wow.
And it's really low calorie for protein. So.
And it's safe catch. So it's not, you know, there's no dolphins in there.
Yep. And then, Joe, I got you a chewy chocolate chip. That's 20 grams of protein.
Whoa.
Pure protein.
Are you on like the Chris Hemsworth diet right now or something?
No, I'm just trying to get as much protein. The more protein that you're supposed to get protein.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting older and I don't want to lose muscle mass.
I see.
Yeah. That's smart.
So you got to maintain muscle mass. The more muscle mass you have, the more calories you burn, more calories you can eat. So.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you, James.
Yeah.
Yep. That might be good with your hot sauce.
Yeah, probably would.
So Joe and I talked. It's kind of a two-part gift.
Oh, great. Let's see what I can conjure for a part three. Oh, that's perfect.
You're trying to piggyback on my.
Yeah, it's like a two-part gift. We talked. It really kind of like that. Both parts are from both of us. It's just like it's kind of inconsequential who gave which half. You know. Well, we decided, we should get him some corn hot sauce and tuna.
If you think about it, I didn't get you any protein this year.
Yeah.
So, Joe.
Yeah.
Your catchphrase.
Keep it juiced.
Keep it juiced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to help you keep it juiced with this phone charger.
Whoa! For your car. I do need one of these.
No, you don't.
I do in my car. Well, thank you.
Just in time. Oh, it's got USB-C.
Yeah.
Wow.
It does? Oh, give it back. No. And nice, James, you know, notable figure.
Uh-huh.
Public figure.
Thank you.
Get stopped a lot on the street.
Uh-huh.
People might ask for an autograph.
Uh-huh.
What better than a Milwaukee brand?
Whoa! Milwaukee. That's an expensive
thing. That's a nice one.
There you go.
It works the same as the DeWalt, but it's more expensive.
And it's almost as good as Joe's gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost as good. That's true. I can fit it in here.
There you go.
Yeah. I carry both of them in the same case.
All right.
Well, thank you, Nolan, for my present.
You're welcome, Joe. I don't feel like an asshole at all. We got a cake on the desk right now
for our listeners. It's been melting for two hours.
It's been out. We put it out a little soon, I think. But this is our caked up dump truck cake.
Yeah.
Here.
Let's spruce it up.
Let's spruce it up.
Yeah. By the way, I'm reading the nutrition facts.
That's going to melt all over all of our computers, that's too much. Joe. That's way too much.
I'm reading the nutrition facts on the Pez.
And again, you can don't eat that candy.
You can eat 8 sleeves of Pez. Same amount of sugar
as one
orange Faygo.
Hey, wow. Unofficial.
Faygo, unofficial sponsor. Beverage sponsor of the Pastcast podcast.
I technically have a meal right here.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh my God, what a sad
dude, that's a vagabond
life.
Meal if I've ever seen one.
Dude.
This is something I would have eaten this in quarantine for sure. 100%.
You could hop a train right off after this filming and sustain yourself for at least a day.
That's a whole ass meal right there, dude. Oh, man. Okay, that was really fun, actually. Wow. Well, we got a bunch of stories here. I'm kind of scrolling through, and these little titles here, they're great. So I can't wait to get into it. Let's do it. This one, our first story is a suggestion, from listener Leo. Quote, greetings from the land of tea and the queen. You should do an episode about the Mongol Rally, a huge road trip that takes place every year and is organized to raise funds for charity. You start in France and then drive all the way out to Mongolia and back again.
What?
I would do that.
Most of the information I have on it is from my grandpa, who took part in it in a Mitsubishi Colt to raise money for hospices.
Whoa.
I won't be offended if you guys don't make an episode based on my suggestion, as I suspect you receive hundreds of ideas weekly, but I thought it might be cool if you did, from a British chap.
Nice. British. He spelled it very phonetically, too.
Yeah. British.
What a bottle.
All right, so here we go. The Mongol Rally is an event organized by a group called the Adventurists, whose whole thing is, quote, making the world less boring.
That's way better than the racists.
They believe that because the, quote, entire surface of the Earth has been scanned by satellites, their duty is to make that sanitized version of the world more chaotic. They offer 5 different races. They got the monkey run, the rickshaw run, Poles of Inconvenience Rally, the Kraken Cup, and what we're going to look into today, the Mongol Rally. The Mongol Rally is the adventurous' biggest race and first took place in 2004, which had 6 teams entered, 4 of whom completed it. The second year in 2005 had 43 teams enter and 18 of those teams arrived intact. And there, it only grew. On average, 250 to 300 teams enter the race, and this year it was canceled, likely due to the war between Russia and Ukraine. Although this remains unconfirmed on the website, but I think that's a pretty...
Yeah, that would ruin it for me, at least.
The rules are, as promised, chaotic. You can only take a small vehicle of 1 liter or less. If it's a motorcycle, it must be a 125cc bike or less. If you drive a car, it has to be a, quote, shitbox. According to the website, it's no fun if it's too easy. If you want easy, go for a spa weekend.
Oh, yeah, you puff.
Yeah. At the end of the race, the vehicle you drive must be driven or shipped back to where it came from. So you can't just like leave it in Mongolia.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like...
That's a good call. Like,
yeah.
Limiting it to 1 liter really limits your selection of cars. There's probably like, what, 30 different cars that are under a liter?
All the K cars.
Oh, K cars for sure.
I think it's probably a little easier to find one in Europe.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. The second rule...
1 liter though. Wow.
Yeah.
That's little.
That's little.
I mean, yeah. Kevin, can you pull up a picture of a 1 liter car?
Gavin Shore listeners and our viewers.
I'm trying to be more like Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Gavin, wow.
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 1 liter, huh? It's so small. That's like this. It's like this Faygo Delicious cotton candy bottle. It's 1 liter. I mean, think about that. It's phenomenal.
Wow. So what you're
saying? Have you seen 1 liter?
Is there a car that's run off of Faygo?
Can you imagine that? That's what I want to see.
He's hunched over too, right? He's always like this in his clips. So what you're saying, what you're telling me, Ben Shapiro?
Dialed, dude.
The second rule is that there's no backup or support by the race organizers. The idea behind this is that if it's not dangerous, it's not an adventure. And the final rule, you must raise a minimum of 500 pounds for the official rally charity Cool Earth, an organization that works alongside indigenous villages to halt rainforest destruction. You can choose a different charity, but that's the one they've got for you, okay? That's kind of cool.
That is cool.
The race prides itself on its en route, meaning there's a starting point and an ending point, and the in-between is up to the teams.
I just realized that, like, you're also kind of destroying the earth by doing this rally, right? Especially if you're doing an en route, which means you're probably going off-road.
You're probably on highways and stuff, though.
Okay, I'm not trying to poo-poo this.
Yeah. The adventurists have said that, quote, past teams have traveled as far south as Iran and Pakistan. Others have ventured into the Arctic Circle. The starting line is in Prague, and the finish line is in Ulan-Ude, just outside Mongolia. So all teams drive across the country. And typically, the teams head to Moscow, Kiev, or Istanbul, then make their way to Uzbekistan before going north to Mongolia. The total distance is around 8 to 10,000 miles.
So far.
That's a lot.
That's
dude.
So far.
And in a little shit box?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And most teams take 3 to 4 weeks to finish.
I would do that with one of you.
One of us.
And a big dog.
And like a baby we find along the way. In a one liter car,
I wouldn't want to ride with both of you.
That's what Ewan McGregor did in Mongolia.
Found a baby?
The long way round, he was on a motorcycle trip for this show, and he ended up adopting an orphan, which is now his daughter.
Whoa. No way. That's crazy. As you can imagine, as the rally has grown in popularity, Joe, accidents have become more likely, and many have required hospital treatment. During the 2010 rally, a British participant died in a road accident between Iran and Turkmenistan. The entry fee for the rally is £795 per vehicle, with a max of 4 people per team. And for motorbikes, it's only £375. And for that, you get an entry to the rally, an invitation to the launch party, a European-style pit stop party, a giant party at the end, and a T-shirt and official Mongol rally patch.
What the hell is a European-style pit stop party?
It's got like
I think we call it something different over here. I don't know. I'll leave it to your imagination. And of course, stories, quote, so excellent, your friends will be in awe of you for decades to come. The only celebrity Christina found a record of participating was Jack Osborne in 2007.
Wow.
Yeah.
The way that this is like written, like the way the rules are like written.
Yeah.
Is like a certain type of car enthusiast that I do not want to spend any time with. It's like, oh, you gotta have a shit box.
Yeah.
Oh, you gotta go to the spa. Mm-hmm. Story so excellent.
That is a little, that's a little.
So you're gonna have stories for every Cars and Coffee for the next 10 years.
Yeah. It's like Gen X-y.
Yeah.
For sure.
So.
I bought the best poverty spec shit box I could find.
Yeah.
It only has one turbo. So, there you go. That's the Mongol Rally. Thank you very much.
Nice. Leo.
Thank you, Leo.
Thank you, Leo.
Now I know about that.
We'll be right back with more of this story, but first, a word from our sponsors.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Next up, we got The Stig. What's up, Wink Wink Nation? Fellow Wisconsinite here. I love the show, and thank you for making me look like an idiot at work when I burst into laughter.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. I think you guys would do great justice to an episode on The Stig and how he's influenced the gold standard of speed testing in Europe and America.
All right.
Sincerely, Brock the Danger Sanger.
Nice.
Is that Brock supposed Sanger. To be Brock the Danger Sanger?
The Stig is, of course, okay, the guy from Top Gear. I've actually worked with him.
Really?
Yeah, Ben Collins. So for those listeners who don't know, the Stig is the quote-unquote anonymous race car driver who's been on Top Gear since 2002. If you want to know more about Top Gear or more specifically host Jeremy Clarkson, check out episode 150 of this show. So since 2002,
what was that?
It's written in Wisconsin.
Oh yeah.
So since 2002,
we're not Irish.
There have been three official Stigs with various others making cameo appearances. The nickname was invented by none other than James's dad, Jeremy Clarkson, after his days at Repton School, where new students were always called Stig.
That's probably some like racist reference.
Probably. Probably, most likely, yeah. However, Clarkson and producing partner Andy Willman originally pitched the driver as the Gimp, set to wear a racing outfit patterned after a bondage suit until the first Stig, XF1 driver Perry McCarthy, refused to play along.
That's kind of funny, actually.
That's pretty funny. I mean, he's not funny.
No.
Jeremy Clarkson.
Yeah.
No.
He's not my hero.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. She just comes from the same generation as our dads. The Stig appeared in the very first episode of the rebooted Top Gear. Jeremy Clarkson introduced him, quote, "Now, we call this thing the Stig, okay? We don't know its name. We don't really know its name. No one knows its name. And we don't want to know. Because it's a racing driver, and racing drivers have tiny little brains and therefore worthless opinions, and they're very dull. Doctors actually call it Mansell syndrome." Its job is simply to go out there and drive fast.
Well, it's crazy that race car driver didn't want to work with him.
Yeah, it's weird. The first Stig wore all black and was portrayed by the aforementioned Perry McCarthy, who was eventually killed off in the third season after revealing his identity in the second edition of his book, Flat Out, Flat Broke, Formula One, The Hard Way. But who is Perry McCarthy? Well, the Black Stig was born in East London in 1961, and unlike other F1 drivers, didn't get his start in kart racing. Hmm. Instead, he funded his early career by working on oil rigs.
Whoa.
While racing in Formula Ford, Formula 3, and eventually F3000 before he tested for the Footwork Formula 1 team in 1991. He was signed the following year to the infamously bad Andrea Moda team, who we talked about in episode 100. F1's most spectacular single-season flops. According to McCarthy, his shoe salesman-turned-team owner, Andrea Sassetti, refused to allow him to practice for more than a few laps before a Grand Prix, which led to his failure to qualify for a single one.
Jeez.
Out of the 10 entries that season, McCarthy did not start once. Despite his misfortunes with Andrea Moda, McCarthy tested for both Williams and Benetton in the 1990s, but quickly went back to sports car racing.
He also had 5 appearances driving at Le Mans between 96 and 2003. And as we mentioned, in 2002, he became the original Stig for Top Gear. His job was to drive fast cars around the test track and teach guest stars how to drive the Suzuki Liana for star in a reasonably priced car segments. His on-screen death occurred when he drove the team's modified Jaguar XJS off the deck of the HMS Invincible, and only a single glove was ever found. Until 2009, when a low-budget BBC-produced video revealed that the Black Stig survived to steal a man's Frisbee off a beach. That is British humor. Yeah. That's 7 years.
Boy, that gimp's got a Frisbee, isn't it? Yeah.
He stole my flying disc.
Then came the White Stig, who is perhaps best known to fans of the show. This new Stig, played by driver Ben Collins from 2003 until 2010, appeared after a tribute to the OG Stig. He received a pair of white coveralls and helmet and a role that went beyond just the power lap segment. Though he also never spoke, he was frequently and sometimes literally carted around with the Top Gear presenters for various other segments.
Remember that prank that I wanted to do for a while?
No.
Where it's like someone crossing the street and then we have like a stunt driver like hit them as they're crossing the street.
Uh-huh.
And then like quickly switch them out or something. And then the same person in all white, like hoisted up by a crane, starts floating up.
Oh, it's like an angel.
Yeah. And everyone's like, what?
Why didn't we ever do that?
I don't know. It's such a good idea. But the crane is like, you can't really see the crane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should do that. I'll put it on the pitch board.
Yeah, let's put it on the pitch board.
Yeah.
Speaking of pranks, we shot a thing for Ford way back in the day, and Ben Collins was in it with me. And like the bit was like, I was picking up the Stig to like drive him to set. I was like a PA. And that was like what the commercial was. And so like Ben Collins and I were together all day, and like it was in the new Ford Fusion. And he like turned on my seat warmer, I guess. And like I got in the car, and it was like not a hot day. I got in the car, and like almost immediately he was like, hey, James, how's your seat feeling? And I was like, what? And like, I looked down and I was like, oh, you turned my seat warmer on. He's like, oh.
Because like, that was a bit they did on the Grand Tour.
Oh, yeah.
They would like always do it without, but they were like on the road for hours at a time. So they
he could not wait.
That's so funny.
He didn't wait long enough for
I'll
me
bet
to.
I bet you that seat's a little warm there.
Yeah. It's like, it like probably wasn't even hot yet.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Couldn't wait. So excited. So bit, happy dude. With himself. Great guy. All right. So in the 10th season, he had to take public transport in the Cross London race. In season 11, he was smuggled into the Zandvoort racetrack for the final deciding challenge against a rival German TV show to drive in James May's place after the presenter was found bound and gagged inside a locker. The White Stig also appeared in several of Clarkson's specials, including a drive in a Porsche 911 GT3 against Sabine Schmitz in an Audi. Rest in peace. Ben Collins was born in Bristol in 1975, but spent the first 10 years of his life in California.
Oh.
He went back to England to study and began his racing career in 1994, competing in the 1995 season of Formula Vauxhall Junior. He went on to compete in British Formula 3, the American Indy Lights Series, and finished second in the 2000 Masters of Formula 3 race at Zandvoort.
Nice. Nice.
He was a test driver for Ascari during the Ascari A10 development and also often found himself testing Formula 1 cars, though he never had a formal seat.
So this guy can drive.
Yeah.
Let's just say this guy can drive.
Oh yeah.
Understatement much.
maybe this guy can hold on. Yeah, math checks out. This guy can drive.
Yeah.
Oh wow, you used my gift. Great.
I know. It's already getting use out of it. This there one too. In the years before his gig as the Stig, he raced for Team Ascari at Le Mans and finished sixth in the 2002 12 Hours of Sebring. He also worked as a precision driver in the film National Treasure Book of Secrets.
Oh,
where
shit.
He doubled for none other than Nicolas Cage, as well as in Quantum of Solace, where he doubled for Daniel Craig. Mm. Went on to work as a stunt driver in both Skyfall and Spectre.
Skyfall is my favorite one.
Good one.
Is that the one where the Aston Martin flips over a bunch?
That's Casino Royale.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
He wasn't in that.
Ben Collins eventually left Top Gear in 2010 due to the rising tensions with the cast and crew after he revealed his identity in his book, The Man in the White Suit.
Come on, Stiggs. Stop revealing your identity.
I mean, yeah. Who cares? Instead of being killed off, the host simply announced that their presenting team is like the band Genesis and could be replaced at any time.
I mean, let's be honest. If we had like an anonymous, if we had a Stig, I'd also be pretty, I'd be pissed if they wrote a book and revealed themselves.
Also, the book is like named, hey, it's me.
Yeah. I'd be mugged off, as it were.
Is that a real saying?
Mm-hmm. I think you'd be pretty mad, dude.
It depends on the day. Honestly, I'm a little inconsistent. Something I'm working on. The new Stig appeared in a very special way. He was discovered by the three hosts as a baby in the Middle East during the holiday Middle East special.
Yeah, his little baby.
I bet
Jesus.
That wasn't problematic at all.
No, these guys really kind of pushed the boundaries for no reason.
Nativity scene.
Yeah.
Please,
his little baby Jesus.
It quickly grew into an adult version of itself when it was brought back to England thanks to the accelerated growth of Stigs. This Stig is the current Stig who exists in the show, and no one knows who it is. There are also many, many rumors that the Stig is actually played by multiple people, something that seems highly likely given the versatility of the anonymous driver.
I think it's Cher Leclerc.
Do you? Is who?
No. He doesn't have time for that.
He probably wouldn't be allowed to do that.
No.
No. I mean, yeah, they had Michael Schumacher as a Stig that one time.
Yep.
Where he pulled off the helmet in the studio. Yeah, there's got to have
tons of Stigs.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just for like production, it just makes sense.
Makes
it's
it
not going
to
like not shoot because the Stig's not available.
Yeah. And there's no way that they're like hiring him as salary. Like, that's a day rate dude.
Yeah. Well, none of those guys. I mean, yeah. Did you know that there's multiple Chris Fixes?
No.
There's four Chris Fixes. And they're each good at a corner of a car.
Well, thank you so much for that suggestion there, Brock. You got it. You got your Stig story there.
Yeah. Hope you like it.
We'll get back to more Past Gas, but right now, a word from our sponsors.
Well, let's talk about another man in white.
Oh, nice.
Hey, you donut heads. James mentioned Catholicism a few times in a previous episode, and it gave me an idea for a new one.
Stay prayed up.
What is the story behind the Pope Mobile? Just thought that story would be interesting and provide a few good laughs. Anyway, thanks for providing me with loads of entertainment during my morning commutes to college. You guys have been my favorite podcast and YouTube channel for many years now. Keep up the great work. Thanks, Logan Dean. P.S. How's disc golf going? For my friend Cameron, who previously asked this question in the Fast and Furious series.
You've been playing?
The last time I played was with you before you went to Seattle, where you played a lot of disc golf at that disc golf resort.
We went to a disc golf
resort?
Yeah, it had...
Oh my God,
it was
how
like
dorky.
It was super dorky, dude.
Yeah.
But very fun. And it was on an old golf course that had, you know, gone
Ghosts.
Under. So every hole was like the longest hole I've ever played.
Yeah.
We played two rounds that day and I like could not lift my arm afterwards.
Yeah.
But it was very fun. They also had like a pitch and putt course that was like par twos. And I wonder why those aren't everywhere because it's so fun.
Yeah.
That's cool. So disc people.
There you go.
Par twos.
There's your disc golf.
Also, way to brag about going to college. None of us went.
I did.
Nolan, I mean, I went, but I didn't graduate.
Two of us flunked out.
Yeah, did you graduate?
I flunked out, and then I went back and graduated.
You graduated?
Yeah, took me 6 years.
Traitor,
loser.
Aside from portable thrones carried by 12-foot men or gilded papal carriages, the first official Pope Mobile was given to Pope Pius the 11th in 1930.
Oh, yeah, that is 11. Sorry, I thought it was 9. I don't know how to read.
You're dyslexic.
So that's why I went to college, so I could read Roman numeral. This
so
car was...
reading Roman numerals up until 20.
Yeah, that's right. that's my cutoff. So this first Pope Mobile was a Mercedes-Benz Nürburgring 460. Pope Pius XI was the original car guy Pope. He was the first to accept an automobile thanks to a relationship between Mercedes advertising director Robert Katzenstein and the German ambassador for the Vatican, Dr. Diego von Bergen.
Whoa, sick name.
Katzenstein reached out to Dr. von Bergen directly and was pleased to learn that Pope Pius XI was not only interested in the newfangled invention, but excited to receive it. Okay, it's 1930. It's not super newfangled.
Yeah. Right?
That'd be like saying getting like a Blu-ray player and being like, oh, I heard these VHS players, they're new.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, yeah. I don't accept OnStar.
Yeah, but now technology progresses exponentially faster than it did back then.
Then why do phones kind of suck now? They're kind of flatlined.
Because it doesn't need to do anything else.
Dude, have you seen that beer
app? Give me something new.
Huh? Where it looks like you're drinking a beer?
Yeah.
You're saying that's not the future?
Well, the past 20 years have been the fastest growth in technology. Millennials have been.
I'm just trying to make a point. It's not that new of an invention at this point in the story.
Yeah, yeah.
It's more, it's almost 40 years at that point.
Yeah. It's like saying, that's like saying newfangled Woodstock 99.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
This newfangled NEU metal.
I think in the grand scheme of things, though, like religion is slow to adopt new practices.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
Anyway, before 1929, the Pope was confined to the Vatican due to a dispute with the Italian government. So once the agreement was resolved, it was go time. The Nürburgring was especially designed for the Pope. It was a stretch model complete with silk carpeting, a throne chair, and a dove embroidered into the lining of the roof as an homage to the papal carriages of the previous century.
It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven.
The throne was outfitted with buttons. Did you just come up with that?
Dude, yeah, she's got bars.
Yeah, that's really good. You should write that down, dude. The throne was outfitted with buttons used to communicate to the Pope's driver, signaling things like turn right or turn left faster or go home.
He's go like, home.
You could just tell me.
The Pope
home?
Called the...
Go home.
The driver go home. Gets out of the car and walks home.
Amy, bad gorilla.
The Pope called the Nürburgring, quote, a wonder of modern machinery, which solidified...
It's a wonder of modern machinery.
Which solidified the future longstanding relationship between the church and Mercedes. Oh,
God.
That's one of the best partnerships, honestly.
In the decades that followed, Mercedes continued to present the Pope with cars specifically designed for papal missions. About a fourth of the Pope mobiles were made by Mercedes-Benz.
Nice.
However, the Nürburgring wasn't the only car in Pius XI's collection. He also received a 1929 Fiat 525, an Isotta Francini Type 8, and a 1929 Graham Page Type 837, which carried Pope Pius out of the Vatican in more than 59 years. It was also the car of choice to celebrate.
I wish we had that on the cake. Oh my God, look at the cake.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Oh, exactly what we said would happen is happening. It was also the car of choice to celebrate the Pope's 50th year as a priest, and it was the first Pope mobile to be painted black.
Mm-hmm.
Around the same time, Pope Pius XI was also given a burgundy and gold Citroen Lictoria C6, a.k.a. the Lictoria Sex. The inside was designed to look like a Venetian-style drawing room from the 1700s, and also had a large dove on the canopy. Love those doves. In 1960, Pope John Paul XXIII was given a Mercedes-Benz 300D. Unlike the Nürburgring, this Pope mobile was equipped with a soft top over the back seats and removable back windows.
Oh, that thing's sick.
Handles were also provided on the partition between the front and back seats so that when the roof was down, the Pope could comfortably stand and see the crowds.
I want to stand.
All these have one chair. Like, you can't drive around and talk to your friends.
Do you think the Pope has just casual friends?
I guess God is his friend, so he's just... God doesn't need a chair in the Pope mobile.
No.
He's just sitting there talking to God.
In 1965, Pope Paul VI was given a 21-foot-long 64 Lincoln Continental. Hell yeah, to show for him around New York City during his visit. This is the first time a sitting Pope traveled to the U.S. And to celebrate, he addressed... It took until 1965 for a Pope to visit America?
Wow.
That's insane.
That's a huge liability, like traveling on a boat. Or whatever, on a plane.
That's true. That's true. This was
the same car Kennedy got shot in.
Yeah. He addressed both the United...
Not the same exact not one, the same, same model.
Same model. He addressed both the United Nations and performed mass at Yankee Stadium.
Whoa.
That same year.
Oh, I wish I was there. Yeah. That would be sick, That'd be dude. Cool. In the that 60s? Would.
Yeah.
With all those freaking New Yorkers. So many Catholics in New York.
Yeah.
Being a Catholic, I would have loved to be there.
That same year, the Pope was given a new Mercedes, this time the 600 Pullman, the same car that Pablo Escobar had.
Nice!
That we mentioned in the last episode. And since the soft top roof of the 300D was so successful, this one had a similar design. However, the roof was raised 3 inches higher than the stock model to allow more headroom.
Mm.
So he could wear that miter.
Oh, yeah.
Mater?
No, miter? Toe mater.
It was in the 1980s that the design of the Pope Mobile was forced to make a big change. On May 13th, 1981... Pope John Paul II was riding in his 1973.
When I picture the Pope, this is my Pope.
Yeah, when I think of the Pope, I think JP2.
He was riding in his 1973 Fiat Campagnola in St. Peter's Square when he was shot in the stomach.
Hell yeah.
Left hand and right arm in an assassination attempt.
Yeah, but you know what he did? Went and met with the dude and said, I forgive you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep. This is the Pope that Sinead O'Connor ripped up the picture of on SNL.
And then Joe Pesci taped together the shredded picture on it because he was the guest the next week. Mm-hmm. And he goes, you know what, Sinead? This is what I think he had, ripping up the picture.
Really?
Yeah.
Somebody surprising has like a piece of that.
Some comedy person who lives on the east side, I assume?
No. Like somebody who's involved with the show back then. And they're like,
it was a writer. Yeah. It was like the voice of the comic dog guy or something like that.
Something like that. He's like, yeah, I got a piece of it.
It's kind of cool. Yeah. After the attempt on his life, John Paul II didn't travel outside of the country much. And the church began to alter the look of the Pope Mobiles to allow for high visibility, yet high security. And the result was a 1979 FSC Star. Armored Pope Mobile that had a structure that sat on top of a flatbed truck. John Paul II first rode in it as a show of defiance against the Soviets through Victory Square in Poland.
Mm.
The Polish Solidarity Movement gained popularity after his trip, and eventually communism fell.
Mm.
All thanks to this awesome truck.
Yeah.
One of the most famous Pope Mobiles
this one's sick.
Is the 1980 Mercedes-Benz 230G, baby. G.
Rules,
standing
dude.
For G-Wagon.
Did you own a Pope Mobile?
Yep.
Whoa.
Dude, I would love to take this thing and fill it with fish.
Yeah. one's ever done that to a Pope spec.
That's true.
Just have a shark back there. Or like a big octopus.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
The 230G was off-road ready with a raised transparent compartment on the back.
Can you imagine taking a sharp turn? Like, and then just tips over and then there's a shark in the street.
The cupola was made of clear plastic and removable, and after the assassination attempt was modified with bulletproof glazing. The design also included a special air conditioning system that kept the walls from fogging up, offering the dream combo of high visibility and high security.
That is dream combo.
Dang. John Paul II rode in many other Pope Mobiles over the years, including an 82 Range Rover, 82 Leyland Constructor. This thing weighed 24 tons and had a 6-cylinder diesel engine put out a measly 154 horsepower. He rode in a 82 Seat Panda, small enough to fit into soccer stadiums.
Wait, yeah, I remember this. This is the one that I think of.
There's an 84 GMC Sierra, baby. An 88 Peugeot 504.
Yeah, the Panda's the Pope Mobile. I love this thing.
The Panda
is
cool.
Pope Mobiles are sick.
And of course, there's a whole slew of Mercedes's. The 1985 Mercedes-Benz 500 SEL was sent to replace his 1965 limousine and outfitted with an extra long sunroof and electric platforms in the floor that would raise the Pope up.
Like Katy Perry.
Then in 1988, John Paul II visited the Ferrari factory in Maranello. So you know he took a ride in a Ferrari convertible, the Mondial.
He just stands in every car.
Yeah, he loves it.
Dude, you know how important you are? Like, you can't fall out of cars.
Nah, I'm gonna teen a little fat.
He does a handstand on the top of a van.
I love it, Russia.
Dude,
I
have such a funny story about that. My friend Chris Berge, we would like do sleepovers in his basement, and
Hell yeah, dude.
One night, this kid, Teddy Frown, came over. And,
Teddy Frown?
And,
cheer up.
And we watched Teen Wolf, and we thought that scene was so funny that we were, like, Teen Wolfing. And he like, did a headstand and then, like, fell over and rolled into the wall and hit it so hard that this, like, kitschy sheet metal sun fell off the wall and stabbed him in the toe. And it just like stuck in his toe. We're like, what do we do?
Mom's gonna be so pissed that we're Teen Wolfing down here, dude. Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Teddy Frown.
Like, does he need a tetanus Frown. Shot? And it was like 1 a.m. and we're like, we're not gonna get him a tetanus shot.
Yeah, you get, cross your fingers,
we'll
man.
We'll see how this pans out.
That's amazing. Later, the only white Ferrari Enzo ever made, the 2005 Ferrari Enzo, was given to John Paul II, but he politely declined it after suggesting that it be sold for charity. It went for $1 million, with proceeds going to the victims of the 2004 Indonesian tsunami.
Oh, nice. That is nice.
Back at Mercedes, the Pope also has a 1997 Mercedes-Benz S-Class convertible, a 2002 ML340, and a 2007 G-Wagon. When Pope Francis took over the papacy, he accepted a new Mercedes M-Class Popemobile, but quickly started collecting less ostentatious vehicles. Francis, he's ridden around in a 2014 Hyundai Santa Fe,
yeah,
a 2014 Jeepney, a 2015 Isuzu D-Max, there's a Kia Sedona in there, Jeep Wrangler, 2015 Fiat 500L, and apparently drives himself around the Vatican in a 1984 Renault 4 with more than 180,000 miles on it.
Whoa,
two
dude.
Escobar connections.
Wow.
The Vatican is like two blocks.
It's pretty small.
It's a little tiny place, but lots of money in there.
Yeah. All right. That was fun.
There's Popemobiles in the Peterson vault. So if you take a vault tour, you can see a number of Popemobiles.
And one dictator's car as well.
Two dictators.
All right, let's enough with this bull crap. Let's talk about what we really came to see. In our 200th episode, after realizing that I don't like 20-pound dogs, I asked you guys to send in your over 20-pound dogs. And once more, you guys really delivered, as you always do. We can always count on you guys, our wonderful audience,
so
to
reliable.
Provide our producers have once again put together a slideshow for us. But this time, it's not a freaking joke, you guys. It's absolutely 100% dead serious.
These are serious dogs.
These are real. This is real. FastCast listeners have so many over 20-pound dogs that each slide has a few on it.
Oh, boy.
And we're going to pick our favorite on each slide.
All right, let's do this.
I have decided, though, I am open to smaller dogs than previous.
Good.
I want a little meatball.
Yeah. Dude, I love a little meatball dog.
Okay, slide one, we got Duke. 110 plus, loves cross-country road trips.
That's such a good boy.
It's Kevin's dog. Mm-hmm. Then we got Banjo, about 100 pounds.
Those are some good
dogs. Are we like, is this head-to-head?
Yeah.
Okay.
Duke or Banjo, I love them both.
I'm going Duke on this one, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I got to go Duke.
I'm a Banjo boy.
Yeah, we
Banjo
know. all right, we got Bumblebee, 45 pounds, named after a Transformer.
Love that.
We got Cage, his name means shadow in Japanese. When I first got him, he used to hide in the corners. He was hiding in the shadows. Aww. Okay.
Cage or Kage?
Oh, Kage.
Kage.
Both of them are so cute.
Yeah, they're both so cute.
I think I'm going with Bumblebee.
I like Bumblebee's little face.
All right, I like Kage.
Cute dog. Next up, we got Dibs.
Great name for a dog.
200-pound Newfoundland.
Yes, that is a great name for that dog.
Christian. Dibs, dude. Oh, my goodness. And then we got Layla. She's a soccer star. Eats 40 pounds of food a week from Bo.
I don't know how many pounds of food I eat.
That's a lot.
Wow.
Dude, I got to go with Dibs on this.
Yeah, I like Layla.
Look at that.
Dibs is a great name.
All these dogs.
Yeah.
My heart is melting looking at these things.
This proves my point. These dogs are way better than those weird little freak turds that you guys said in last time.
I love all dogs.
I'm a Dibs guy.
Next up, no name given, but this dog is in a kayak. It weighs 115 pounds. Big lovable boy. Quote, we tried kayaking in a single person kayak and flipped it over. So this is me pushing the dog back this to shore. Source Ben.
He's got no name.
So he's got a life jacket on.
Imagine like lifting
a 115
pound dog back into a kayak that's overturned. Yeah. That's got to be a big dude too.
Mm-hmm. And up next we got another no name dog. Big looking dog, kind of like a mastiff looking thing.
Yeah.
Called a sweet little princess at one point, 135 pounds, but is now at 110. Lost some
good
weight.
For
that's
her.
Good. It's a South African mastiff. She loves riding.
In the mastiff.
She loves riding in Jake's DC Integra and E28.
First one for me.
The kayak dog.
Yeah, kayak.
I think just for the novelty of the picture, I got to agree.
Yeah. All right. All these next dogs, every dog on this is the same listener, Ken. Which is your favorite? Nope. All described as super fun and super dumb. I'm going to go with Greg, the Black Mastiff.
I'm going to... What are you thinking, Joe?
Got George,
I like
kind of a
George.
Bernie
like
Mountain Dog.
George okay, seems really soft.
And you know what? I'm going to go with Alan, the English Mastiff. Nice.
Those are kind
that's
of all of
sick.
Our personalities.
Is that a C10 square body?
Ooh, boy. All right, next up, we got Baloo. Looks to be a St. Bernard. He's 151 pounds. And we got Albert next to another dog. For scale, yeah, Albert's 165 pounds.
Damn.
I gotta go with the St. Bernard. Love a Beethoven.
I love both.
There's a Beethoven in my neighborhood.
That, a Beethoven?
Yeah. That he always, he's huge and he gets up on the fence like this.
Oh, wow. That's adorable.
And he says hi to everybody.
Yeah.
Love that.
Love him.
I'm going for Baloo.
The Beethoven?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'll go with Albert on this.
Mm-hmm. It looks like
a
both
old,
great.
Big old Scooby-Doo looking dog.
Battle of the two dogs. Matching twins. Twins versus twins. We got Kimmy and Buddy at 70 and 105 pounds. They're like
yellow labs.
Retrievers.
Yeah, retrievers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Lincoln and Lucas.
Oh.
They are collies. They're Lassie dogs.
I got to go with Lincoln and Lucas. Those
you
are
like the Lassie dogs?
Yeah.
They're cute. You don't see a lot of Lassie dogs.
No.
I'd love to grab that fur.
When I went to
you know what I was thinking the other day? Lassie dogs and Dalmatians were very 90s.
Yeah.
You don't really see them a lot anymore.
Yeah. I was thinking about our friend Andrew has a Dalmatian.
Mm.
It's super sick. A Dalmatian, I think they're like really energetic, but I would consider one.
Next up, we got Bobby Banana.
That dog looks mean as hell.
This is a Norwegian elk hound.
Oh, he's scary as hell, dude. Can you imagine, like, you're like, okay, I got to go. Something's going on under my house. I got to climb under the house and check it out. And you turn on the light and you see that.
That is scary as shit.
Dog, scary as
that's
hell,
that's like an
dude.
X-Files dog,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, dude.
Then you got Kuus.
Like, if that thing doesn't have any legs and just slithers through holes.
That's a scary looking dog.
It's like a Studio Ghibli monster.
That's Daniel's dog.
It's like
then.
Naming a dragon, like... Little snuggler or something. Yeah. Bobby Banana.
It looks like
Bobby Banana.
Bobby Banana.
Bobby Banana sounds like a morning radio show host.
Yeah.
Hey. Next up, we got Kuus, who's a big old mastiff looking thing.
Yeah.
Pitbull, and Marshmallow. Maybe? Marshmallow's a great name for a dog.
Marshmallow.
I gotta go with Kuus.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
Yeah.
As hell.
That's like
Kuus is cool.
Damn near perfect dog. For
that's
me.
A good looking dog for sure.
I like my dog to look like a bouncer.
Next, we got Beck, who's 60 pounds. Looks like a German Shepherd mixed with some sort of collie, like a fluffy German Shepherd.
Some sort of herding breed, a working breed.
Good looking dog.
That is a handsome dog.
So handsome.
Next
this
up,
is a whole slide of handsome.
Yeah, we got Shoshana, 90 pounds plus.
Shoshana.
Another white Shepherd. Thank you, Gavin. And Mr. Rue. Who's a cane corso and wire hair mix.
You didn't read Shoshana's named after a character in Inglorious Bastards who killed Nazis.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And he's got a little pack. Or she's got a little pack.
Shoshana's pretty cool.
I'm going to have to go with Shoshana on this one. Hell yeah.
I gotta go.
Dude.
Shoshana's cool as hell.
Yeah.
I love a cane corso. So Mr. Rue's very cute. Looks like my dog.
Yeah. Very
Beck's
close.
Really cute. Beck's handsome, but I gotta go with Mr. Rue. Gotta represent for the cane.
I'll even it out. I'll go with Beck. Beck is very cute.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Next up, we got Brent's ex dog. Did they leave you?
Look, I've been in situations where you really miss your ex's dogs.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been there.
Okay.
I understand.
Then we got Bacon, a Saint Beethoven. Bacon is a Beethoven dog. And then Milton, a Great Pyrenees Wolfhound mix. He's afraid of being weighed.
Oh.
Oh, in 10 cute. Months, he was over 110 pounds.
Good
I
Lord.
Like Milton.
I like Milton, too. I'm
I like all these boys,
but
I love
fan.
Milton.
Love Milton.
Great
Even though
too.
Bacon is like really huge and cool.
Picture with Connor's fiance for size ref. Well, Connor, we don't know how big your fiance is.
Also, she's crouching down.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but congratulations on the engagement.
Yeah, nice, dude.
Doge, like the coin.
Doge.
Doge. Okay. Disqualified. Shay. Shay is the winner.
I love Shay.
This is side tangent, but I couldn't sleep last night because I got a random super FOMO feeling about missing out on the Bitcoin.
That kept you up?
Yeah. I was like, man, I really wish I would have bought some in 2012.
Yeah. I wish, yeah, a lot of stuff. All right, these are international dogs.
Oh, love that.
Aja and Oberon.
Whoa,
are
that's a
big,
sick name.
Weird looking.
You can't even see their faces.
What are these dogs outside of America doing? These things look like primal. These things look like they live in the woods.
These are like medieval dogs.
Yeah.
When they weren't fully formed.
Right. Yeah. 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 Like pre-breed, just like.
Yeah. I got to go with Ozzy, though.
Yeah.
Because I can see his face.
Yeah. I like those weird. Look like mean puppets. They all win. Crash. Rest in peace.
RIP Crash, dude.
Jay Rembo. Man. We're sorry. Bo.
RIP Bo.
Rest in peace. Lucas, we're sorry. Winston. Winston's the dog. Rest in peace. Reese, we're sorry.
Yeah.
I love these dogs. I love these dogs. It's so hard to... Let's pour out a little Faygo, yeah. Official sponsor of Passcast Podcast.
Pour it in this
cup. I mean, figuratively.
Oh. Everyone pour it into this cup. Same time.
And then, okay.
Nothing shows respect like pouring out a little bit of delicious... Cotton candy, genuine Faygo. The so bluest drink on the market.
This is to you, Crash, Bo, and Winston. I feel like something's going to
happen. Don't mix those.
It says don't mix.
See, how much better are these dogs than all those little pieces of shit that we looked at last time? Right?
Yeah.
Right?
I'd take any dog that anybody sent in.
I know, but like that. With every one of these dogs, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That's true.
All those other dogs are like, okay, cool.
Wait, you're going to flip when you see Scully.
Scully is, quote, 85 pounds heavier than our toddler. I know James would love her because she is more dangerous than a gun.
And that's
I
love that. That's a 150 pound toddler.
Yeah, their toddler is also a record holder.
And then we got Zeus, who's 100 pounds. This is like a German shepherd.
Looks like Chewy.
His owner, Vlad, is blind. So, Zeus is a service dog.
So he's like an actual service dog.
Yeah.
Oh, tied though. Yeah. These two are tied.
Yeah, they're tied.
They're tied.
Yeah, because this one's dangerous as a gun, and this one is literally a man's eyes.
Yeah. Next up, we got Shiloh, another shepherd.
Jackson.
Yeah, and then we got Jackson, who's a Great Dane.
Oh, Marmaduke.
Dude, yeah, I gotta love this Marmaduke. Jackson, gotta go with Jackson because when he stands on his back legs, he's 6'3", how tall I am. And he weighs 164 pounds, which
probably
is
just cleaned up in high school basketball.
Yeah. I love this dog.
Yeah. Jackson for me.
And then, so biggest dog that was sent in is Dibs at 200 pounds.
I think that was the only unanimous winner, too. We all loved him.
Yeah, we did. Dibs.
I
judged
for the other one, but yeah.
Oh.
I had a book about a Newfoundland that. A dog that went on an adventure in Canada. And I forget what it was called, but I read it like 3 times when I was a kid.
If you guys remember a book.
About a Newfoundland. On a trip. Oh, no. He was like Lewis and Clark's dog.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's what the story was about.
Oh,
that's cool. Yeah. Sacagawea.
Maybe.
All right. Well, it's been a hell of a year, you guys. It's been so fun bringing you stories and bits and... stuff like that. Thank you again for sending in your dogs. Thank you for listening. This has been a big year for Passcast. Mm-hmm. We gained a lot of new listeners.
Yeah,
so thank you guys for spreading the word. A lot of those listeners came from direct links that you guys sent your friends through text.
Yeah.
So you telling people about this podcast really is the biggest way to spread word about it. Podcasts are a very word of mouth format, like more so than anything else. So
for sure.
We really, really appreciate it. It makes a huge difference to us. So if you have a friend or a relative or someone who you think might enjoy us talking about cars and a lot of other weird stuff, let them know.
Maybe too much weird stuff.
Yeah, no. Maybe too much weird stuff. And if you want even more weird stuff, we actually are working on another podcast. We're going to have two podcasts available a week. This other one is called The Big Three, where we tackle... It's more timely. So, like, three big stories in automotive news from the week. So, Past Gas is still going to be history, and The Big Three will be the present.
We'll be making history with a new one.
Oh, damn, whoa, dude. That's sick.
We love all the DMs and the comments in the YouTube sections and stuff, too. So, keep on sending us those things, and
keep an eye out for The Big Three in the same RSS feed as Past Gas.
Yeah, you won't even have to do anything.
You won't even have to freaking do anything.
You'll already be subscribed.
Yeah, it's not even any more work.
Been a great year. I love you guys. Happy holidays.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Keep it juiced.
Hey, go tell someone that you appreciate them. And for 2023, this is Nolan, James, and Joe signing off. On behalf of Christina, our producer, and Gavin, our producer, and Nick, our cameraman.
Dibs!
Dibs!
Dibs! Thank you.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.